Of us, not many of us in this room, but some of us who are older, we recognize how much our world has changed in the last couple of generations. When I was a young boy, everybody was supposed to be a Christian. Everybody went to church. The Bible was read. It was in homes everywhere. It was the book. We didn't have other books. You didn't see a lot of cults around. You didn't hear a lot or see a lot of other religions around. It was fairly a quasi-Christian society. We know that it wasn't perfect, and we know that, you know, there were still a lot of sinful problems. But the world that we live in has changed. Some people call it a pluralistic society. It means that there's all different kinds of people, you know, different religions, opinions, philosophies. There's a lot of different ideas about God or not God, about religion, what it is, what it isn't, about the need of, you know, Christ, or different kinds of, they even use the word spiritual or spirituality in a whole different way. And you know, Chris was telling me he went to Arizona and they're putting crystals on their heads and, you know, worshiping, you know, a totally weird spirituality. I know there's been Native Americans around that have told me about their, you know, kind of animistic spirituality, which means they, you know, God's in trees and rivers and, you know, and that's like Hinduism. There's a lot of different ideas. And our society is becoming more tolerant and really promoting those other ideas, while at the same time, it's smashing or attacking Christian values. So you have a huge shift in our culture that's taken place. And so, you know, the question is, you know, in that kind of a society, what are we going to do to remain standing with Christ? To remain true, to remain faithful to the things that God has told us to be. Because we're being bombarded with, you know, friendships sometimes, relationships that tell us, you know, oh, no, no, that's not the way. Media, all the media pretty much is going in a wrong direction, right? So we're going to look at the last section of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus talks us about what it means to be a community that's basically invested in truth. Not tolerance, but truth. And there's a huge difference between tolerance and truth. And he tells us, verse 13, this is chapter 7, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow, difficult, right, is the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. You know, sometimes when our congregation looks like it does today, it's kind of slim. And, you know, and I think of this text. I say, well, you know, is it really supposed to be a cathedral filled with thousands of people if this is true, right? Just bringing that out. But we live in a world that there's a billion Hindus in our world. And they have temples out in our areas. We'll see Hindu temples. There's over a billion Muslims in the world. We have mosques within 2 miles of us here. You can't, if you shop in certain areas, you see Muslims everywhere, right? There are 2 billion that live under communism, and if they are really ardent communists, they agree with the idea that religion has no place in society. There's no room for God because God makes people not effective as far as being a part of a society, right? You call it the opiate of the masses. So you've got, that's 4 billion people I've talked about. I remember when I was flying from Siberia back home, and I'm flying over, and you're going over Russia, and then you're going over England, and then, you know, I realized that most of the people that were underneath that plane as I was going all that great distance, most of them didn't believe in Jesus Christ, didn't follow God, or even set up their societies to be against God and against Christ. That's the broad road. That's the road that's tolerant, the road that's pluralistic. It's the idea that says, you know, oh, it doesn't matter what you believe. There's a lot of different ways to get to God. I heard a pastor one time give a story about he was on a plane and he didn't want to talk to anybody. He's a well-known person, and he just wanted to rest. And he says, you know, when people ask me my name or what I do, you know, if I want to talk, I'll tell them I'm a sociologist at the university. And he said, but if I don't want to talk, I'll say I'm a Baptist evangelist. And so this guy, he sits next to him. He says, you know, what do you do? He says, I'm a Baptist evangelist. And the fellow says, well, you know, I believe that there's a lot of different paths to God. I believe that, you know, there are all kinds of ways to get to God. And they were continued the flight. There was foggy. You know, the weather was not perfect, not perfectly clear. And he turned to the fellows. They were getting ready to land. He says, you know, I'm glad that the pilot doesn't think there's only that there's a million ways to land this plane, that he can just set it down anywhere to be okay. That he knows that there's that one beam, that one path that he's got to follow in order to land his plane safely. That's the difference, I think, between what Jesus taught us and what the society is trying to teach us. Jesus taught us that the way is narrow, it's hard, it's difficult, it's not easy, and that the way to destruction is easy and broad, and that the most people you know are going to be on the easy road, and very few are going to be on the narrow road. The narrow road basically is like very convenient. We had a fellow that came by, a friend of one of our people, and it was Indian, you know, India. And he, you know, we were talking, and I had mentioned in this sermon that you cannot worship, you know, Krishna and Jesus. He said, there's no room for Krishna. And he got very offended, and he talked to me about that afterwards, and he started telling me that he was told by Christians that you could worship other gods and have Jesus too. That's what he was taught. It's very convenient. That's a very convenient religion. That means anything you want is good. A prof that was in India for 40 years told us that, you know, anytime you wanted to see a group of people with their hands up making a decision for Christ, say, all you do is say, do you want Jesus? He said, yeah, but you got to get rid of all, but you've got to get rid of all your other idols. They wouldn't, you know, they would never swallow that, but if you say, oh, you want Jesus, yeah, they'd put him on a shelf with a million other gods. That's what they do, right? Hinduism is very convenient to give a false gospel to the Hindu folks so that they're still happy, right? The idea of mixing politics and religion, we've seen that in this country, and it's not good. I think it's earned Christianity a black eye because, you know, we're standing up for a few things. Where we should be standing up for is Jesus Christ. But no, we're waving a political flag and we're standing for a political agenda instead of standing for the kingdom of God and standing for Jesus Christ. And that those kinds of bad teachings, tolerant, you know, fits the society, right? There's a lot of, you know, doctrine that leads to or supports the love of money. We've seen that. There are a lot of different words out there now about, and I don't even remember their title, but, you know, the immoral community. Those who practice sin that's forbidden in Scripture and called sin in Scripture. And yet many Christians wave that you know, flag, flag that shows a rainbow. And they say, oh, how wonderful this is. Directly refusing to obey or listen to Scripture by doing so. And they've been taught that that's good. They've been taught that that's what we ought to do. Look at this. This is some research. This is the president of Gordon-Conwell, Dr. Hollinger. And the Pew Forum is like a Gallup poll. They study different issues. 33% of people that call themselves Christian believe that there is another higher power other than God, right? 45% of evangelicals, only 45% believe that you have to have a relationship with God in order to be saved. Only 45% of those who would fill this church, evangelicals, believe that you have to have a relationship with God, right? 56% of evangelicals believe that there are other means to get to the kingdom of God. There are other means to get to heaven, refusing to believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. What's happened in our pluralistic society is that people are caving in to all the ideas that are in the media, all the ideas that are on the internet, all the popular ideas of our society, and the leaders of Christianity are caving in. Because if they want to keep their churches big, if they want to keep their budgets big, they have to appease all those opinions. And so instead of preaching the truth, instead of sticking to the Word of God, they teach some other gospel. And they're ruining the faith of people because they're taking them and putting their agenda on something other than the purposes of God, the purposes of Christ. It's a sad state of affairs. Again, when Jesus says to us, wide is the road, and many are on it that leads to destruction, and small is the gate, narrow, difficult is it to get in, right? When we're living in a society that's trying to make it easy for everybody, we need to remember what Jesus told us about being a community that's based in truth. The truth is narrow. Lies, you know, think about this. How many lies can you have? Can you put an end to lies? Because you can, anything you say, you know, it's false. And you can just pile it up and pile it up and pile it up. Truth is very small because truth is truth. And you can't expand it. You can't change it. You can't alter truth because it's the truth. What's confused most people in our society is they don't know what truth is. So Jesus, in the context of this, says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Now think about it, a wolf. Jesus says, you know, he's pretending to be a sheep, but he's a wolf. What's a wolf interested in? Is he, you know, is he wanting the welfare of the sheep? No. He's only interested in one thing, fulfilling his appetite. He's got an agenda that has nothing to do with God or God's purposes. His agenda is to feed himself. And if you think about how it goes, you know, you have a lot of people in Christianity and religion that are basically feeding their ego. You know, they do it because they want to be somebody. They want to be famous. They want to be known. They put their name out rather than the name of Jesus. They talk about themselves more than they talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he has done. They talk about their plans instead of the plans of God. Right? That's what a wolf does. A wolf doesn't care if you make it to heaven or not. A wolf doesn't care if you get morally right or not. A wolf doesn't care if you stay on drugs or stay on the drink. The wolf doesn't care about any of that. He just wants you to be there and be happy with them. That's what a wolf cares about, right? So he goes on to say that, you know, he says you're going to know them by their fruit. Do people pick grapes from a thorn bush? The answer is no, if you don't know. Or figs from thistles? Again, no, if you don't know, right? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, and every bad tree bears bad fruit, right? I have got trees in my yard, and I've only got one that bears little tiny cherries, you know? And that's the only place I would go in my yard to find any kind of fruit, right? What is Jesus telling us? He's saying, look at what they produce. Look at what they produce. What's the agenda? What's the motive? Are they producing a political movement? Is that what God said? I mean, here Jesus, Paul was under an evil Roman Empire. Jesus was executed by an evil Roman Empire and an evil Jewish Empire. And did any of them say, well, our goal is political change and we're going to fix this and let's, you know, vote for, you know, no. None of that. What were they doing? They were proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. They were building the kingdom of God. They were telling people to be holy as God is holy. They were telling people how to be transformed through the blood of Jesus Christ and enter into the kingdom of heaven. That was their agenda. It's not financial growth, right? That gospel doesn't go over in most of the world very well. When people in Africa make $300 a year and you start talking about give to God and God will, you know, it's cruel to say such things. You get, again, the ego where they're strutting around like peacocks, you know, everything's about them, that kind of stuff. Some of them even deny who Jesus is and what he's done. Some deny the holiness of God, which is a real critical problem. Denying that God is holy and has demands that we be holy means we can't live a careless life, right? And we're being told, oh, God is love. God is love. God is love. Don't worry about it. Why? Because God loves you. Do whatever you want. Why? God's going to clean you and love you anyway. That is a false gospel. Very prominent in our culture right now, right? A good tree will bear good fruit. What's Jesus been talking about in the Sermon on the Mount? Qualities, Christian qualities, right? Talking about a deeper righteousness, not just don't commit adultery, but don't even look at it, you know? A deeper sense of spiritual discipline. When I pray, who am I praying to? I am praying to God. Where do I pray? I pray in private. I pray to God. I fast to God. I do what I do before the Lord, not to please people, right? It's a difference in agenda, difference in heart. So every tree that does not switch. Oh, because I hit the wrong thing. No. All right, never mind. So the idea, okay, next thing. So not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Think of that. What a tragic end. One of the things about ministry, real ministry, is it requires a call. Barbara and I, when we were in seminary, our first date, we were talking about the people in seminary. And how many of the guys were just talking about a career, a job. What they were seeking was, you know, the right benefits, the right place. You know, it was like a corporate, you know, atmosphere. None of them, you know, were talking about, well, whatever God calls me to do, I'll go do that. None of them were talking about, well, if God calls me to go to Africa and die, I'm going to go to Africa and die. They were all treating ministry as though it was some kind of a career. Rather than a call by Jesus Christ. Jesus called his apostles personally. He went up on a hill and he came back down the next day and he called out the 12. He knew one wasn't going to make it. Later he called Paul personally from after the grave, you know, from his resurrected, he calls Paul. He calls his disciples. Those who belong to him are called by him, right? When people pretend, when they treat it like a career, when they go at it on their own without being called, they end up in this position. It's interesting because you think about it, they prophesy, which is like they preach, and a lot of people can do that. But he says, you drive out demons. There's power in that, you know. We perform miracles. There's power in that. But just think about that, because how many people would get confused with the idea that a person that's able to cast out demons, perform miracles, and preach is not right with God, not acceptable or called by God. That should make us think. Because some people on TV have said, if you're not doing miracles, if you're not doing this, you're not, well, here's a text that says, even if you are, you might not be of God. Isn't that amazing? Right? But the key is, I never knew you. There's so many folks that are out doing, quote, ministry that are not doing it based upon God's call, God's purposes, God's agenda. They're doing it for their own reasons. And what that does ultimately is harm people. It harms people from knowing the truth, from living. So here, it says, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine, so what are we talking about? The word of God, and puts them into practice is like a man who built his house on a rock. It says, the rains came down, the streams rose, the winds blew against that house, and yet it did not fall because its foundation was on the rock. The word of God, the words of Christ, they're to be learned. They're to be learned. We come into this space, we always, the word of God's up there. Very few other things. The word of God. Always, in Bible studies, the word of God, the word of God, the word of God. We need to learn the word of God. We need to have it in our heads. Then we need to think about it. What does that mean? What does that word mean in our society? What does that word mean in my circumstance? Think about it. And then we need to practice it. We need to put it into practice. It should be how we make decisions. It should be how we treat our wives and family. It should be how we live in our community and how we go to church and everything else that we do, how we do our jobs. It should all be related to what we learned, what we meditated upon, and then put it into action. He says, that kind of person who has that word and does all that with it, right? That kind of person, no matter what comes at them in their life, whether it's death, sickness, financial disaster, right? Liberal political, you know, takes over everything, and we're the enemy. Whatever happens to us, if we are endued with the word of God, we're going to be that house that's built upon the rock because the word of God is solid. The word of God doesn't change. And no matter what comes, we will have the strength to stand against all the forces and storms of ideas that might come against us. And at the end of the day, we will stand with Jesus Christ and the kingdom of heaven. That's the narrow road. That's where it leads. The broad road, he says, is anyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice. You can go to church and go to Bible studies, but if it's not something you think about and something you act upon, it doesn't mean anything. It really has to reach your heart and your actions. It has to be who you are. That person, he says, is a foolish person who built his house on the sand and the winds blew, beat against it, and it fell with a great crash. Those who follow these other gospels that we've mentioned today, those who follow the political agendas or seeking wealth or whatever other purpose they're engaged in religion, they're going to crash. Just think, if your whole idea was, you know, a religion and politics, and then your party gets totally thrown out and your agendas get totally dashed, where's your faith then? If your faith was all based upon money, which is the most horrible use of the word faith when they associate it with money, and then a crash comes, not like these little ones, a big crash comes, and everybody's wiped out, where's your faith then? It's destroyed on the rocks. The wind and the storms take it away. If you have a purpose and an agenda that is something other than God's purpose, and God's purpose for you is holiness, righteousness, receiving the grace and power of Jesus Christ in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, that's God's purpose for us. That's the purpose of his words, right? If you're invested in anything else, you're going to crash. You're going to be overcome by the world instead of overcoming the world. How do we stand? It's pretty easy, right? How do we maintain what Jesus said to be a community based on truth? We choose the narrow way, not the wide way. We're careful about what we listen to. And I am not afraid to say that something is false when it's false. I will call it out in a minute. You know that about me. Yeah. And you build your house on the Word of God. You learn it, meditate, and practice. Then you will be that house on the rock. You will stand against all the onslaught of all that's out there trying to bring us down. You'll enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen.